Hello and welcome back to the podcast. If you are new, my name is Nicole and I'm a registered dietitian with Crohn's disease and I specialize in how to lose weight when you have Crohn's. Today I want to talk about the ketogenic diet and Crohn's disease. I have heard numerous people jump on the keto bandwagon to help with their Crohn's disease. So what exactly is the keto diet? The keto diet is where you consume less than 50 grams of carbohydrates per day. Now, the way this is actually calculated is net carbohydrates. So what you do is you add up the number of carbs you eat in a day, subtract, I think, half the fiber that you've eaten to get your net carbs. And for all intents and purposes, to put this in perspective, 50 grams of carbohydrates is roughly 200 calories, and that's straight. That's not this whole net carbohydrate business. It's just 50 grams of carbohydrates is 200 calories. So that's less than 200 calories of carbohydrates a day. A typical two-pack Reese's peanut butter cup is about 220 calories. And that's more than just carbohydrates. But to put that in a package perspective for you, in the size of your fist in carbohydrates, calories. A slice of bread can be anywhere from 80 to 160 calories, and that's mostly carbohydrates. So it's a very, very small number of carbohydrates, and 50 grams is the max. It also is a high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb diet. And the reason why it is a moderate protein and not high protein, because typically what I had initially thought of it as is a high protein diet. It's not moderate protein because of this thing called gluconeogenesis. Gluconeogenesis is where your body turns protein into carbohydrates for fuel because your body's preferred fuel source is carbohydrates. Now, with all of that being said, I do want to quickly discuss there is a thing called dirty keto and clean keto. And obviously for health, you would want to eat quote unquote clean keto. But what I need to say is clean keto also incorporates bacon. Now, if you're on the train of thinking that bacon is healthy for you, you got to listen to some more nutrition advice. So it's a high fat, moderate protein, clean keto. So let's do a little bit more deep dive as to what clean keto means. So some high fat protein sources recommended for keto: grass-fed beef, chicken thighs, salmon, tuna, shellfish, eggs, bacon in moderation, full fat, Greek yogurt, and cottage cheese. The low-carb vegetables are cabbage, broccoli, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, spinach, kale, green beans, peppers, zucchini, cauliflower, and celery. And I know you don't want to listen to me read on more and more of foods, but I do want to say that small handfuls of berries are allowed on the keto diet. Their fruit is excluded. Fat sources, your general fat sources, olive oil, coconut oil, sesame oil, etc. Nuts and nut butters. Now, I did see on one website they recommended minimizing your consumption of nuts. I don't fully understand that. Cheeses in moderation, and then your beverages, of course, anything without any added sugar, and definitely no fruit juices. No milk. Dairy is out of the question. And lists of foods to avoid on keto, obviously, are grains. So you're looking at no bread, no rice, no quinoa, no oats. So any of your healthy carbs, throw them out the window. Fruits, other than a small handful of berries at a time. Your potatoes, gone. Corn, peas, gone. Artichokes, gone. Legumes, gone. And of course, no dairy. Now, on to the touted benefits of the keto diet for Crohn's disease. Reduces gut inflammation. Let me dispel this one on the myth, on the spot right here. This myth on the spot. There is no research, and I don't know if they're talking about gluten here, or if they're talking about sugar, or what is happening, but there is no research to prove that gluten causes gut inflammation if you don't have celiac disease. Of course, if you have celiac disease, it's going to cause inflammation because you are essentially allergic, you're immune to gluten. But other than that, there is no proof that it will cause inflammation in your gut. Now, sugar, on the other hand, may very well, but you can eliminate sugar without eliminating every other carbohydrate under the sun. Second touted benefit, improves gut microbiome. Third, reduces toxic load, so sugar, flour, gluten, processed foods. Again, you can get rid of sugar and processed foods without going keto. Gluten is not necessarily a toxic load. No toxic byproducts, lactate, acetate, ethanol, acetaldehyde. There's some toxic byproducts of meat, but we'll get into that. Increase in fat-soluble vitamins, A, D, K, and vitamin D deficiency. We'll talk more about that. Quote-unquote improves cholesterol. I don't know how. And hormonal balance, which also I don't see how. So those are the touted benefits. And of course, that's what I found online on a random website. I will not name names here, but I found that on a website because, you know, it's not really a diet, in the science books. So next up, let's see. Yes, as far as this, like, we recommend avoiding foods that can cause issues with your gut flora and intestinal lining. And these foods include wheat-based products, grains, gluten, baked goods, junk foods, artificial sweeteners. Again, the study, the research is just not there for gluten and wheat-based products. So there are specific nutrients I want to bring up, and number one is folic acid. If you don't know, folic acid is required for pre-pregnant women. Before you're pregnant, you need to have good folic acid levels, because if you do not, it increases the risk of spina bifida, which is a birth defect where the spinal cord pops out of the spinal column. And children are, you know, if you're born with it, you are at high risk of pinching that spinal cord nerve, severing it, and dying. And they have to, like, live in wheelchairs and all kinds of things. Folic acid is highly, highly crucial nutrient, and they fortified all of our grains with folic acid, cereal grains, breads, etc., because of this issue, because you have to have good levels of folic acid before you even get pregnant for this to work. Selenium is another nutrient. It is very critical to immune function. It's also an antioxidant. Both of these are typically deficient in people who follow a ketogenic diet. Vitamin A has a risk of being deficient. I don't know why that article said vitamin A is more likely. Maybe if you're eating liver, but you're cutting out most vitamin A foods other than carrots. There might be a little bit in meat here and there, but not enough. They might be saying because it's a high-fat diet, you're able to absorb vitamins A, D, E, and K better, but that's, if you eat a moderate amount of fat on a regular basis, you're going to absorb them. You don't need to follow a high-fat meat diet. So sweet potatoes and mangoes are two of the food groups that are also very high in vitamin A other than carrots. Calcium, because you're completely eliminating dairy. B vitamins are highly found in grains. It's your best source of B vitamins. So basically what I'm saying here is if you want to get a good nutrient profile, A, you're going to have to supplement a couple of things like selenium, folic acid, and B, you're going to have to eat lots of vegetables every day. And if you have Crohn's disease, there's a good chance you're not going to tolerate 80 grams of fiber from vegetables every day. So I don't see this working well. I do think maybe minimizing carbs, definitely cutting out sugar, helps your digestive tract, but you don't have to go full circle all the way to keto in order to get these results. I also do want to talk about muscle performance, muscle building, exercise performance, and how carbs are beneficial to that. Your muscles store glycogen. Glycogen is carbohydrates. It's your body's form of storing carbohydrates. And if your muscles are depleted of glycogen because you're constantly in ketosis, you are not going to be able to build muscle or even maintain a good muscle mass as effectively as if you're eating carbohydrates. Also, your exercise performance is likely to be limited because you're going to have less energy. And your brain functions off of carbohydrates. That's why your body creates ketones as a supplement for your brain, but your brain doesn't function as well on ketones. There is research, I can say this, to prove that it helps with seizures, epilepsy, and reduces your risk for Alzheimer's disease. There are cognitive benefits, and that's because it helps block the uptake of a certain protein in your digestive tract when you're eating the byproducts of this certain protein. So it does have cognitive benefits, but it doesn't outweigh the health risks you're doing for the rest of your body. I have a research study right here in front of me that is by Rosenbaum et al. In the journal Obesity, published June 27th, 2019, stating that switching to the ketogenic diet was associated with increased cholesterol and inflammatory markers. The ketogenic diet causes inflammation. So the previous statement stating that it helps reduce inflammation is just purely not factual. And this diet, it's not really a study that I'm reading. It's a review article. So they're looking at hundreds of other studies and pulling all this information together. And then there's another study on your microbiota with the ketogenic diet. And their key take-home messages are to introduce more plant proteins, reduce the intake of animal proteins, increase omega-3s and decrease omega-6s. These are just natural health recommendations. And if you're reducing the intake of animal protein and doing the ketogenic diet and you have Crohn's disease, you're basically talking about a plant-based diet subtracting fruit and grains. It's vegetables. You're just eating vegetables and maybe some oils. It's not healthy. It's not a balanced diet. You're definitely going to be lacking nutrients. Also, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is common in chronic inflammatory bowel disease that you end up developing, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. The high-fat, low-carb diet also has been shown to cause non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So something you're already at high risk for, you're increasing your risk for. Also, not to mention colon cancer, high fat, high animal protein intakes, a lot of red meats, especially cooked at high temperatures, grilling, broiling, those increase your risk of cancer also. And then the fact if you have issues with your ileum, either you don't have one because you got it taken out, or you have a lot of inflammation in that area, you're not going to digest or absorb fat very well, which means you're going to have a lot of cramping, you're going to have a lot of pooping, and it's going to be not pleasant at all. So there's many, many reasons why the keto diet just doesn't make sense for people with Crohn's disease. It doesn't make sense for people in general, but definitely not with Crohn's disease. And we know that processed meats just generally aren't healthy for us. I mean, there's plenty of research to prove that foods like bacon are not good for us. And then I do want to bring up advanced glycation end products, AGEs. These are byproducts in food. All food from a strawberry to a part of a cow has these byproducts. And what they do is they oxidize your cells. So it increases your risk of cancer, inflammation, decreases wound healing, increases rapidly expands aging, so you age faster, those kinds of things. They are found mostly in animal proteins, specifically beef, chicken, turkey, eggs. And when you cook foods, especially if you're cooking them, you're sautéing, your grilling, your broiling, high heat, rapid cooking, that increases the production of AGEs in the food. So all on top of what was already in the food, you're adding more to your food. So instead of cooking in that method, it's better to cook at in a moist heat. Frying is a dry heat, just FYI there. And then your moist heats are going to be stew cooked, braising, things just naturally add more flavor to your food cooking that way. Cooking more moist, that will decrease the amount of AGEs in the food, decrease the amount produced. And then things that actually can decrease the AGEs, like if you take a slice of steak, marinate it, add some citrus, those will help decrease the AGEs in the food in general. And then on top of that, counteracting by making sure you're eating enough fruits and vegetables, however you're able to get them in, whether that's blending in a smoothie, really, you know, deep cooking your vegetables, getting more antioxidants helps counteract what's happening to the AGEs, which with a keto diet, you're eating a lot of AGEs and not really enough antioxidants, because the amount of foods, the reason why I listed the vegetables recommended for the ketogenic diet were because a lot of them are cruciferous vegetables, and I have noticed that a lot of people with Crohn's don't tolerate cruciferous vegetables very well. There were only a handful of vegetables listed that are not cruciferous. So all of that being said, of course, I don't recommend the ketogenic diet. In fact, it can make your Crohn's disease worse. So that is where we stand, and that's what the research, you know, shows in general. If you like this video, please be sure to follow and stay tuned for another episode. Check out my website, wakenutrition.net, wakenutrition.net, and you get links to my YouTube channel and my Instagram also. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to speaking with you next time.